Good morning. Welcome to worship. Today we get to see a hero, a champion, who does not fail like any other hero, who is always going to be there for you, who does not take a day off, he does not discriminate. He came to do a job, and he did a job. He came to win a win, and he won a win for you. We get to revel in that today and also during our entire Lenten journey this year. So look forward to sharing your Savior, your hero, your champion, Jesus, with you today as we worship. The order of worship that we're going to use starts with our Lenten gathering rite, and we used that last year, so some of you will be familiar with it. Just take special notice to the parts that we will sing. We will sing the refrains when they show up, and then the cantor will sing the verses. And it's our plea, it's our prayer, that God would have mercy on us, and because Jesus did everything perfectly well for us, he does have mercy on us, and he comes to us and helps us when we call out to him. So we'll open with our Lenten gathering rite. On page 3 in the worship booklet, you may remain seated.
Stand. But with you there is mercy and forgiveness and a guiding hand.
Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment,
both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Lord Jesus, you call us to repentance. Lord, have mercy. Christ Jesus, you heal all our divisions. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, your love is our salvation. Lord, have mercy.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The first lesson for this morning is recorded in Genesis chapter 2 and reminds us why we need the prayer, Lord, have mercy, in the first place. And before we get to all big on ourselves and say, thank you very much, Adam, for what you did, or we start to think, well, I would have done differently, I never would have done that, how about we put all that aside and praise and thank God that although this happened, he has a plan that was to send his Son, our Savior Jesus, and he kept his word, and he did just that. This is the account of Adam bringing sin into the world. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm of the day for this morning is Psalm 130 on page 6 in your worship booklets. We'll sing the psalm together this morning, Psalm 130.
Thank you.
second lesson recorded in Romans chapter 5 reminds us of what God did for us. Because our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, we were born sinful, and we sin. So God promised to send a Savior, Jesus, and brought life through him. Yes, there is death and consequence of sin. There is pain, sorrow, sadness because of Adam. But through Jesus, God promises us victory now and eternal life to come. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. It is written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this morning, today's sermon text, is recorded in the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the gospel of the Lord. The hymn of the day for this morning is hymn 201, a hymn about our champion. Please be seated as we join together to sing the hymn of the day.
words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in our God's sight, and they are, through our rock, through our Savior Jesus. So you all are in the fight this morning, whether you're a lover or a fighter, you're in the fight. And I think you're here this morning because you know that you are in the fight. And the fight that we are in is unlike any other fight. Some of them are harmless. They're spats. You learn them when they're really long, really young, right? Boys against girls. Boys rule. Everybody knows that. Maybe you're a cat person or dog person, and everybody knows who wins there. Your pets, because all of you, your pets own you, and you lose that fight to them every day. And then the fights get a little more serious. They impact all of us in different ways. Some of them are former fights, Axis versus Allies. Some of you are in very difficult fights right now against heart disease, stroke, and cancer. But this fight is unlike any other fight that you're ever going to be in. And there is absolutely nothing you can do to fight this fight or to win this fight on your own. St. Paul tells us what kind of fight we're in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." And the thing is, you know, those people who would help you fight cancer or heart disease, they're all in. And they would never, ever do anything to hurt you. And the people who would fight for their country, they're all in. And very, very few of them would do anything to hurt their country or to set their country back. But you know what? The people who have your back in this life, your closest friends, your family, they're not all in the fight with you. And in fact, sometimes don't they encourage you to do just the opposite? Right? To take care of you, to do what's best for you, to do what feels good for you, to do what God isn't doing for you. And so we need a hero. We need a champion in this fight. And today's sermon is all about the hero, the champion that God sent. And he's the one who prepares us for this fight. He prepares us for temptation. And he does that by showing us the ropes on how to fight temptation. And then he shows us how to do that by reminding us that he gives us hope in this fight. Jesus uses the three R's. They are to recognize, resist, and remove himself from temptation. And here's how it went. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." The devil realized he had an opportunity, and so he came a-prowling looking for Jesus. He knew that he was hungry, and so he appealed to his reason, and he gave him the tummy test. It was the bread test. "Jesus, you're hungry, right? God isn't taking care of you, right? Why don't you do something about it? It's just a little bit of bread, and it's harmless. You know, forget about God. Take care of yourself." Here's the second temptation. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." It was the loyalty test, wasn't it? You know, it was Jesus. You left everything to come down here. And what has God given you? Nothing. God has given you nothing. Why don't you go get something for yourself? And one more time. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone.'" You know, it looks like God has forgotten about you. Let's see if he really has. You know what? And I'll tell you what. If he does lift you up before you hit the ground, then I'll give you that God is still with you. But if not, I'll take care of you. And wasn't that a big fat lie? Satan wouldn't do a thing to help Jesus, but it was the loyalty test. I care for you more than God cares for you. That's how Satan entered the fight with Jesus. And here's how Jesus responded. He responded by resisting with the word, by recognizing the temptation, and then by removing himself from the temptation. First, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus answered him again, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus wasn't ashamed to use the word of God. He wasn't afraid to use the word of God, as if he wasn't witty enough or smart enough, or if he didn't tell Satan the right thing that it wasn't going to work. He recognized the temptation. This does not match up with what God, my Heavenly Father, says. And he resisted with the word, and then he removed himself from the temptation. You notice how he didn't stick around? He didn't say, let me think about this just for a little bit. Bread. God makes it rain. The rain waters the wheat. The wheat grows up, and then we make bread. So God gives us the bread, right? And they ate bread in the Old Testament. There, see? It's okay for me to eat this bread now. And he didn't stop and think, well, you know what? Satan has a good point. Because it looks from his perspective that God has left me. And not that I'm really going to do what he says, but maybe I'll just hear him out. No, Jesus left. He said, "Get away from me. This does not match up with God's word." And he removed himself from the temptation. Those are Satan's temptations, and those are the ropes. Jesus says, here's how you do it. You recognize temptation. You resist temptation with the word of God, and then you remove yourself. You get out of there. Let's go into the Roman Colosseum for a little bit. And what if that's the way that it works? So you go into the Roman Colosseum, and there's a couple of lions, and it's you and a gladiator. And the gladiator has big, thick armor on, and he is huge, and he has a really big sword. And the first lion comes running out of the gate, and he goes up, blood-curdling scream, and he cuts the lion's head off. Don't worry, it's just an illustration. So he cuts the lion's head off, and there's the lion, and he's dying on the arena floor. Now he says to you, "Okay, that's how it's done. Now it's your turn. Do you like your chances against the lion in the arena? Because by comparison, you are weak. You are defenseless, and you don't have a sword. How's that going to end for you? As your bloodied, lifeless, or dying body is lying on the ground?" Well, now ask yourself, we're just using 40 days because it comes up in the gospel for today. How have you done in the last 40 days? And by that I mean, how many times has Satan completely devoured you in the last 40 days? How many times in the last 40 days have you given in to the tummy test? Right? That you should have more? Or that God isn't providing for you? Or you find a way to find out why you should get to enjoy what everybody else gets to enjoy. Why? Because it feels good to this. It feels good to my body. Or because it feels good in my head. Or it feels good in my heart. Or what about the loyalty test? Right? If God does for you, then you'll do for God. Or until God shows you, then you can't really trust him. Or maybe it's just the loyalty test too. How much do you love God?
Well, as much as he loves me.
Or as much as the world tells me to. Or as much as I feel that God is worthy of. As if instead of using the three R's, recognizing the temptation and resisting it and removing yourself, you say, well, this isn't so bad, and you relax. Right? You just chill with the devil for a little bit, and it feels good. Right? Because the fight is done. And it feels physically good, it feels emotionally good, and finally Satan's giving you what God can't give you? And does that make any sense at all? And it gets even worse, because instead of being a bloodied, dying body on the arena floor, you are a bloodied, dying person in God's courtroom. And what do you have to offer God at that point? Didn't Jesus tell us a few weeks ago, be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect? That's why Jesus doesn't just show us the ropes. He also gives us hope. Because when the second lion comes running at us, he comes in and he kills that lion too. By telling Satan no every time, we have a hero. We have a champion who walks us into God's courtroom and presents us as holy and blameless before our God because he stepped in for us. And you know he did because he gave up his life for you. He entered the ultimate arena and he paid for every single one of the times that you and I were devoured by Satan. Every time we chose to relax instead of resist temptation. Every time we chose to indulge instead of trusting God. Jesus sacrificed himself for you and for me. We have a hero. We have a champion. Paul says in Romans, said us in Romans chapter 5, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification. And that takes us right into God's courtroom, doesn't it? If you remember your catechism days, justification into God's courtroom. You are guilty as charged. But Jesus comes in and takes the punishment for you, gives God perfection, and God says, not guilty. Yeah, but I am not guilty. Because your Savior paid the price for you. Your hero, your champion, Jesus said no every time for you. The result is justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. That's our hope. Your champion did not fail. Your champion does not fail. And here's what St. Paul says to do with this, writing in Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. You know, if we never sinned, we wouldn't have this conversation. If we never sinned, we would not need a hero. We would not need a champion. And today's service would be completely different than it is. But because we are tempted and because we are in the fight, Jesus, our hero, our champion, prepares us for the fight by reminding us to resist with the word of God, to recognize temptation, recognize what is there and what shouldn't be there, and then to remove ourselves from the temptation. And then to put on the full armor of God, because if that hero, if that champion in the arena, if he killed the lion for you, would you still be afraid of the lion? Jesus has defeated Satan for you. We have nothing to be afraid of. We are God's own now, and we get to live for him. Paul said in Romans 10, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. It is okay for us to live for God. It is okay for us to resist temptation. Our tummies are going to be just fine. We will be completely happy. We will have everything we need, including God saying, well done. Paul says it's going to be okay, for there is no difference. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When we look to Jesus, not only during Lent, but all the time, we see someone who did more than just show us the ropes. We see a champion, a hero, who gives us hope. So may Jesus, your hero, your champion, equip you and empower you to live for your God, and give you the confidence that you are his now during these 40 days and always. Amen. Please stand. We join together to confess that hope by speaking together the words of the Nicene Creed on page 8 in the worship booklet. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made.
for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated, and we collect our offerings at this time. In our prayer of the church this morning, we will remember the family and friends of our brother, Mr. Paul Hine, who was called home to be with Jesus after a battle with cancer. He was called home on Friday morning, and his memorial service will be this coming Tuesday. We'll share more information about that after the service. But for now, we entrust his friends and family to the Lord's care. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. Obeying your Father's will, you endured the cross and scorned its shame. Now you sit at the right hand of the throne of God, governing all things. We confess that it was for us and for our salvation that you came to this world to suffer and die. You bore our guilt. You endured our punishment. You experienced the wrath of God in our place. For your unselfish sacrifice on our behalf, help us show our gratitude to you in everything we think, say, and do. As we walk through life, keep us from becoming entangled by sin. Remove all obstacles and stumbling blocks, and keep us from falling or going astray. Help us run with perseverance the race that you have marked out for us in your word. When that way involves pain, suffering, or persecution,
Help us view these things as evidence of your loving discipleship, intended to draw us ever closer to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that your Son fought for us and the victory that he won for us. We thank you today specifically for the victory that he fought and secured for our brother Paul Hine. We thank you that you instilled a strong faith in him. We thank you that you kept him close to you through word and sacrament. We thank you that he continually witnessed to us and he served us and you faithfully. We thank you that he now rests from his labors and enjoys victory with you. Please be with his friends and family as they gather for worship. Please be with Brittany and all of Paul's extended family. We ask that you would comfort them in your grief. Help us to be there for them too. Help us to remember them in our prayers and to serve them as Paul's brothers and sisters. Dear Heavenly Father, hold before us the example of those who have gone before us, bearing the cross for you. As you led them, so lead us. As you strengthen them, so strengthen us. Keep our eyes fixed on you, for then we will surely arrive safely at the heavenly home you have secured and prepared for us. Hear us for your mercy's sake. Amen. Please give your attention to page 10 in the worship booklet, where we continue with our preparation to receive the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to you.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. He made his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Join together to sing the Song of Simeon on page 13. Please stand. The prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his holy word and in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We close with the select stanzas of hymn 378. Please be seated. May God himself bless you through your hero, your champion, Jesus, as you live with him and for him this week. I want to again welcome our worship guests. We're pleased to have you here and to be able to share the good news of Jesus with you again and with some of you for the first time. And when you travel back home, may Jesus give you safe travels there. I have a couple of announcements to share with you. There is a summary of our February financials on some pink paper in the back. If you would like the full treasurer's report, they are available for you in the back too. They are on white paper, and it's a number of pages stapled together. So the pink is the summary, and the full financial report is available to you in the back. Also, this morning is the Mission Box Offering Sunday.
Feel free to add whatever else you would like to support the LWMS mission projects and missionaries, and then that money will be collected today and sent in. So if you enjoy participating in the mission offering, please make sure they get back there by the end of today, and then they will get collected and sent in. As was mentioned, God called Paul Hine home to himself late last week, and he will have a memorial, his family will have a memorial service for him. He has no need of such things here, as he is now with Jesus, but we do. And so we will have a memorial service for him Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and then immediately after the service, there will be a graveside service at Sylvan Cemetery, and everybody is invited to join the family there too. And then we'll come back and enjoy a fellowship meal together after that. So Tuesday at 4 o'clock is the memorial service, and then there will be a graveside and meal following that. Those are the announcements that, there is no confirmation today. Again, that was announced last week, and there's no Bible information class, as I'm at a Tree of Life board meeting today. So no catechism and no Bible information class tonight. Now those are my announcements, and I will turn the floor over to Mike Rausch.
Good morning, everybody. I wanted to talk to you and let you know, as you know, we had a call outstanding to President Pastor Zarling from Martin Luther College. We did hear back from him. He has returned our call, and he's going to stay there at MLC. In the back, there, I think it's a yellow piece of paper. He wrote a really nice letter, and a couple of things, I don't want to go on too long, but a couple of things from there. He really outlined why he felt he needed to stay. And it really gives a nice little glimpse into what's going on at MLC. The faculty turnover that he's managing through and will manage through was one of the main reasons. And then they're off on a really major campaign to revitalize a capital and building campaign, as well as a recruitment one. So the other thing I got from the letter, he didn't say it in exactly these words, but I think it's fair to say that if he felt he could leave, he would have said yes, he'd be here. So he was very pleased with kind of the way we presented ourselves and the ministry opportunities here. So moving forward, we got some late-breaking news that we will be able to have a call list and issue our next call on March 12th. So that's in a couple of Sundays from now. And please mark that down. It'll be right after second service, similar to how we did it last time. And so please plan to participate. That was a really good meeting, and look forward to another one as we find out how God matches us up with the guy that he's already chosen for us. All right, so now I'll pass off to Matt.
I have three announcements to share with you this morning. The first is that I've decided to return my call to Stillwater, Minnesota. Thank you. My family and I look forward to continue working with you to serve the Lord at St. Mark's with all our heart. Second announcement is this coming Friday, and I apologize this didn't make the weekly announcement flyer, but this coming Friday, March 10th at 6:30 p.m., our lower grades, junior kindergarten through fourth grade, are going to entertain us. K through 4 are presenting a musical called Swamped, so it's going to involve some swamp creatures and a bullfrog bully, and it's going to be fun. So if you'd like to come and be entertained by our lower grades, these little flyers can be found at the school counter in the back with more information Friday at 6:30. Lastly, I'd just like to share a brief recap of our A-level basketball season, which concluded yesterday. Very successful season, most importantly, for the reasons of the growth that took place in our student athletes. Growth in basketball skill, growth in character. And that growth resulted in a very successful season when it comes to victories as well. The boys finished their season 13 wins, 5 losses. Highlight of their season was winning the Cal Lutheran Classic, which is held at California Lutheran High School down south for the third year in a row. And the girls had a very successful season as well. 19 wins, 2 losses. They won our tournament. They won the Cal Lutheran Classic for the fourth year in a row. They won a league championship. And then yesterday they took fourth place in the Big NorCal tournament, competing with schools of 300 and 400 kids. So very proud of our student athletes. A few of them are here this morning, and then I'd like to invite you to congratulate them with me. We have Jacob Rausch, Hallie Bauer, Heidi Schmidt, Johanna Hernandez, William Sadiq. Are there any others in here? So there's a few of our players. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you for your time. Here's Mr. Bengal.
Thank you for your patience this morning. We have a lot of announcements. I'm here to just remind and also show you a video this morning about Praise and Proclaim. Praise and Proclaim is about 3 weeks away. It's on March 24th and 25th. That's a Friday and Saturday. This gentleman on the TV screen here, this is Dave Malness. He's coming down here to train us in a way that he's come up with to go out and reach out to your community. And he's going to be here on Friday night to do a training session, which he encourages everybody to attend because it just gives you more confidence in sharing your faith with those around you. I'm also going to be encouraging some of our families of the middle schoolers and high schoolers to come too, because he said he's had wonderful feedback from middle schoolers and high school students, just feeling a lot more comfortable being out there in where they are at in high school and things like that, sharing their faith. Then on Saturday, after we've kind of been trained, that's where we're looking for people to go out and reach out to the community. He asked us to plan a special event that we could invite the community to, and that event is going to be kind of an Easter weekend celebration. On Saturday, we're going to be hosting, hopefully, a bunch of families from the community. Also, we're going to be inviting our church families and our school families to an Easter egg hunt. At that Easter egg hunt, they're going to hunt for eggs, but then afterwards, Pastor is going to be giving a small children's devotion, and then we're also going to be having a little meal. And then we're going to be encouraging them to come back on Sunday for the services, where we'll have breakfast also. The group that's organizing that special Saturday event is looking for some donations to help defray some of the cost. They're looking for Easter-themed items like stickers, erasers, wrap candy. We're gonna have some wrap candy hidden in the eggs, but if we're trying to limit that and more to toys and one of the she put on there doodads, little gadgets that have to do with Easter. If you have Easter baskets at home that you want to get rid of in the attic or something like that, we would love to use those, plastic eggs. We're also going to be giving away some bigger prizes to some of the, we're going up to about 8 years old. We're going to, instead of giving them little things, we're looking at having like boxes of chalk, coloring books, crayons. If you feel obligated to help donate things, there's going to be a box in the back. I forgot to double check. I think it's in the back on the side over here. But if you want to bring those in over the next couple weeks and put them in that box, we'd appreciate it. Now we're going to hear from Dave encouraging you to come and participate in our event.
Hi, this is Dave Malness of Praise and Proclaim Ministries, and I just want to share with you as members at St. Mark's Lutheran Church how excited we are to come to your congregation on March 24th and 25th to help lead an outreach initiative. It's been such a joy to work with Brett Bingle and Jim Oswald as we make the preparations to have a well-organized and meaningful event, and I trust that the Lord will bless it. And I also appreciate Pastor Schmidt's leadership and the opportunity of meeting with him last summer to kind of help set the stage in order to make this happen. Well, right now I'm in Boise, Idaho, and I'm about ready to go on a walk with my dog, and he loves to go on walks. I mean, his tail wags and his body shakes with anticipation of going on a walk with me. Well, I want to invite you, members of St. Mark's Lutheran Church, to go on a walk with me through the streets of Citrus Heights to proclaim the gospel. Now, I have a feeling that there are some of you who may not be wagging your tail with anticipation, or your body may not be trembling with excitement at the prospect of going on a walk with me. Well, let me assure you that that's okay. It's perfectly natural to feel a little nervous or even scared about the prospect of sharing the gospel. And that's why when we have training on Friday, you'll be prepared to do that. Not only will you be prepared to learn a methodology and approach, but you'll be provided an opportunity to put that training into practice. And for some of those who, I don't know, may be sitting on the fence on whether or not to participate, I want to encourage you to come to Friday night. Come for the training anyway, because there you will learn a methodology and approach that you can apply with your friends, or your neighbors, co-workers, or family members, and then decide if you'd like to join us on Saturday. Either way, I can't wait to come to Citrus Heights. I am so much looking forward to partnering with you, members at St. Mark's Lutheran Church, and learn together how to proclaim the gospel. In the meantime, keep this initiative in your prayers, and I look forward to meeting you. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you then.
If you haven't signed up already, on the back table on the left side, there's a clipboard And we're looking for names and some information so Jim Oswald can keep in contact with you. There's going to be meals provided. It starts Friday night at 5 o'clock. We'll have a meal. The training goes from 6 to 8:30. Saturday, you come back. We provide meals and water for the day. If you think you can make it to any part of it, please let us know. Even if you think maybe just Saturday morning, Friday training, Saturday morning, you can't be there all day Saturday, please let us know. We're looking for as many people as we can. Thank you again for worshiping with us, and have a blessed day.